This week on the Time Bat Show.
Like, this guy's not good enough. I need to level him up. But in order to do that, I have to have tea with Jimmy first. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
man.
That's priority number one. So, I don't know. It was fun for a while. And then I realized it's literally just the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And how long is this game?
It's like 60 hours long.
That's a lot of tea with Jimmy.
I can't do that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 141. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
Sorry, I'm still coughing from that.
It's okay.
I had a little coughing fit right before we started this episode. Episode 141, surprise that we're recording on today, that is Thursday, because you just went through a large and powerful Hurricane Dorian.
Yes.
And you have power and electricity and internet right now.
Yeah, sort of surprisingly. Everybody thought it was going to be really bad, but it wound up not hitting my
area
apartment very hard.
It didn't directly hit your apartment very hard.
Yeah.
That's good. So you're at your apartment right now then?
Yes. That's cool. Everything is more or less back to normal.
So you did something cool not yesterday. I don't know when it was, but you like recorded a bunch of hurricane sounds while it was going on, right? With your new fancy microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that go? I mean, I heard some of them. It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. For the hurricane, I went down to my parents' condo to help them. Initially, I was just helping them put up the hurricane
prepare stuff
shutters, like on their windows.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of turned into me just staying there for a few days.
Oh, were you alone or were you with your parents?
They were there.
Okay.
And also, like, there was some other family there. So we had kind of a little hurricane party get together.
Oh, hurricane parties are the best.
We made ribs and, like, because that's what you make.
Because you don't need electricity for that, right?
No.
Yeah.
Just a grill.
Yeah, just a grill.
So the whole time the storm was hitting, I had a live stream up on YouTube, and people were, like, watching to see what it looked like, and that was fun.
I watched the day it was, like, mostly hitting you, and I saw a few people walk on the beach.
Yeah, there was people down there pretty much the whole time.
Might have been you.
It probably was.
Like, after you told me all the cool stuff you did during the hurricane, like make ribs and hang out on the beach with the wind and like record the noises, I honestly got a little jealous because like I know that doesn't sound fun to most anybody else, but that sounds super dope to me. Like, I would
it was
love
so much fun.
That.
I thought of you because I kept like trying to come up with fancy ways to like. Record nature.
Oh, in cool ways. Yeah.
In cool ways.
So you told me about some interesting way that you found to do it. So we should tell everyone about that because it was really cool sounding.
What I wound up doing was there are these glass boxes that you put candles and lanterns in.
The microphone you had was like an omnidirectional thing, right?
Yeah. It's like a surround sound kind of recording mic. I think it was made. There are these cameras now that capture 360-degree video.
It was made for that.
Like, all around the camera. It was made for one of those, but those cameras are really expensive, and I can't afford one.
Maybe one day.
So I just bought, like, the microphone part. Yeah.
Next hurricane.
So I can record sound.
Anyway, so you got candles.
Yeah. And my mom had this glass box that you put a candle in and it blocks the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the candle out and put my mic in there and just kind of held it like a lantern walking around on the beach.
And that's how you got your sounds?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Oh, man. I'm so jealous. That sounds so fun.
Yeah. I thought about you. I was like, wow, Chris would really enjoy this.
I would.
Or Time Aces, rather.
Damn it! No, I would like that. I don't know. Finding cool ways to record hurricanes sounds pretty dope to me. You know what would be cool? If you had a way to, like, put it in, like, some kind of tunnel to, like, channel the wind in there and to, like, hear that. I don't know how you'd do that. You could get, like one of those, like, sewer... Not sewer. Like, those, like... plastic like
a PVC pipe.
PVC, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you could put it in there. It'd be neat.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a good idea. You could make like a wind whistle with one.
You wait, what?
Oh, well.
What'd you say?
Maybe next time.
Yeah, next time. Next hurricane, you'll get it.
Next time.
And you could buy the new camera, too. The, like, $20,000 360 camera. Have you looked how much those are out of curiosity?
Oh, I think audio is cutting out a little bit.
That's okay. I can't hear you very well. Hold on. It might be me, or it could be you. I don't really know. Can you hear me still?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty well. I think it's leveling out now.
It's coming back. Oh, my internet is doing having a day right now. It's not doing too hot. It's coming back.
I can hear you good now.
It's coming back. Oh, God. My internet's crawling. No one used Time Warner cable, FYI. It's really bad. It likes to go out the same time every day. It's like 7 o'clock. Nobody uses the internet at 7 p.m., right?
That's like right when you get home from work and want to use the internet.
It's like the dumbest time. It's like, just like, let's cut it out now. I don't know. Someone probably hit a pole or something. But did you look at the price of the super expensive camera, the 360 degree one? Hello?
Hello, yes, I'm still here.
I'm sorry. Hello.
It's okay.
I wanted to know if you had the price of the camera, if you looked at it, the expensive one.
They're expensive. It's called, like, the GoPro Fusion. That was, like, the cheapest one I could find. And it's probably... I don't know. It's a lot. When I checked, I was like, no, we can't have one of those.
One day, maybe, though. Next hurricane, you get one of those, you get the other, you get your current microphone, and you get me. I'm coming down, and we're doing a hurricane. We're going to be like storm chasers, but we're not chasing anything. We're waiting it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you would technically be a storm chaser in that case, because you would be coming.
That's true.
For the hurricane.
To Florida for the hurricane. I haven't gone through a hurricane in quite a while because I've lived here like five, six years. I don't remember how long. But, you know, I just remember it being like, it's a fun experience. And nobody that isn't from Florida understands the draw of the hurricane. Like, it's more fun than it sounds. It's not really fun, but it's kind of a cool experience.
It's fun. It's totally different from everyday life. Everything changes. You can't go to the store. It's
everything changes. I think that's why it's cool. It's like novel.
Everybody in the whole country is talking about you for once.
Yeah, like, you're like,
wherever
you live
is never in the news, right, except for when it's hit by hurricanes.
Randomly in the news when it's hit by a hurricane.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything kind of just stops for like a week, and like, you don't have to go to work. It's just like, it's just new and novel and interesting. I don't know, it's a really interesting, it's a really cool change of pace, you know, and I don't know. It's neat. I'm glad that you're safe, but I'm kind of jealous that you got to be Hurricane Man for like 3 days. So what are you gonna do? Anyway, what else is new in your life, Bad Snacks?
Other than just the hurricane, right before we started the show, I downloaded Final Fantasy VIII for the Nintendo Switch.
So you really did it this time.
I really did it, yeah.
It was like $20?
Yeah, it's $20.
And you have not started playing it yet?
No, it's downloading as we speak.
So I should play this too. You've played this game, we talked about this last week, you've played this game a bunch of times over the course of your life, and I've only played it one time, and that was back when I was like 13 years old. So I really wonder my perception changing if I played it now. You know what I mean? It would be an interesting thing to watch, but I guess I'll try to play it again, and we could compare our experiences, you know, a
fun yeah that game. Would be fun.
I don't know, are you excited to get started with it?
I'm definitely really excited. I'm gonna like I'm going to play it tonight, probably. Oh, and my God. It's going to be really fun.
I was thinking about this recently. I don't know how many video games you play anymore. Like, we used to play a lot of video games back in our youth, you know. And, you know, you still do, kind of, and I still do, kind of. But I was thinking about this last week, right? Because, like, I've played, I don't know, a bunch of video games this year. But nothing that, like, stands out to me and I'm like, yep, I want to keep playing that until I finish it. Like, it's happened to me, like, once this whole year. Everything else, I like, get, like, a little ways through, and then I'm like, I'm done. I'd rather be doing anything else than playing this video game. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, what was the last video game you played? Wasn't it Fire Emblem?
Yeah, so, like...
Like, what did you expect,
dude? I don't know! I keep getting, like, fooled by people. Like, I'm like... I'm going to play a video game, and they're like, this one's really good. And I'm like, is it? And they're like, yeah, it's really good. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then I play it, and I'm like, this is okay. And then I get, like, 15 hours in, and I'm like, what the hell is this game? This is so boring. I get fooled every time, like, every single time. And I feel like the problem is my tastes have shifted from the general population, you know, because I'm getting older.
Yeah.
It's just... Video games are not made for me anymore, and they won't be anymore. You know what I mean?
No, but, I mean, to be 100% honest, there are, what, like, 30 Fire Emblem games?
Yeah.
Have you ever enjoyed one before? Like, what? Even if you were 9 years old, I'm pretty sure you would have hated that game.
I mean, okay, that's fair. The old ones, I played one of them, and they were a lot less dialogue-y, and they're a lot more, like, strategy-y.
Okay.
And I liked that game, but that was, like, 15 years ago. You know what I mean? That was a long time ago. This one is, like... Oh, my God. It's the worst. I mean, it's not the worst. Let me lay it out for you, okay? Really fast.
Please. No, I want to hear your review of a game.
Stupid game.
I don't even know the title. What is the title?
Fire Emblem Three Houses. So it's a good game until it's not a good game. And then it's like, this is stupid. So Three Houses, the game centers around, you're like a guy that's like a mercenary. And do you know the gameplay in Fire Emblem? It's basically like a Final Fantasy Tactics style thing, right? So you have people and you can, like, send them and... do, like, tactical, you know, battling or whatever, turn-based. So, you're this guy, this mercenary, and you're, like, recruited by this, like, school that trains, like, soldiers. Like, think of West Point, but fantasy West Point, right?
Okay.
And the school has three houses, and the three houses are all representative of the three major countries on the continent, and you get to choose which house you're going to be, like, the lead professor of to, like, teach the children how to fight and stuff. And so, like, you choose one of the houses, and then you go on, like, missions for the school. Like, oh, you know, there's bandits that are attacking a village. Let's go kill them. Or there's, like, some mysterious man with a bunch of monsters over here. Let's go fight him or whatever. So you do that. So, like, the general gameplay of the game is you're battling with your students, right? And then the other half, that's half one half. And then the other half is you're on campus talking to your students and, like, doing other tasks in the school. Like, you can fish and, like, garden. And you can have meals with your students, and you can take them to tea time.
So it's like a teacher simulator?
It's like a teacher simulator. Oh, and then you teach them, yes. You, like, have lesson plans and stuff. Uh-huh. And you, like, and that's half the game. And then the other half is battling, okay? And I got about 20 hours into this game, and I was like, I'm ready for the next thing, like the next component. It's like, there is no next component. Those are the components. And guess what the components are? The, like, the monastery, the part where you're just on campus, it's the same fucking thing every time. Like, you're just doing the same thing. The only things change is, like, what the dialogue actually is. You know what I mean? Like, the students say different things, but everything else is the same. It's the same location, and you do the same things. And then the battling is the cool part, like, the interesting part. But it's not few and far between, but it's like, it's so, you have to go through the stupid teaching part to get to the battles. So by the time you're in the battles, you're just like, I just want to finish this battle to get back to the teaching. And then when you're in the teaching, you're like, I want to finish the teaching to get back to the battle. So it's like, I'm never looking forward to doing anything in the game because I know the next part's going to be boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like in the middle of the battle and you're like, great, I gotta have tea with Jimmy after this.
Yep. And then while I'm teaching, I'm like, oh man, I'm almost done teaching. I'm gonna have to battle. And I know when I get to the battle, I'm gonna enjoy it. But I like, you can't do any character like building or like, you can't do any progression until you're back to the teaching part. So while you're in the battle, like you just battle. So like you're like, oh, I need it. Like this guy's not good enough. I need to level him up. But in order to do that, I have to have tea with Jimmy first. You know what I mean? Oh, like,
man,
that's priority number one. So I don't know. It was fun for a while. And then I realized it's literally just the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And how long is this game?
It's like 60 hours long.
That's a lot of tea with Jimmy.
I can't do that. And so I was comparing it, and it's an RPG, right? Because your character progression and you've got dialogue, the two facets of an RPG, right? But I was comparing it to other RPGs I like. Let's take Final Fantasy VIII, great example. The thing about Final Fantasy VIII and other Final Fantasy games and good RPGs is they have battles that are generally the same kind of gameplay throughout, but you're leveling your character up. But outside of battles, you're talking to people, you're exploring the world. Key component to this is you're exploring new locations every single time you're walking around. You're not really in one place for the entirety of the game. But guess what? You are in Fire Emblem. You're in the same fucking place with the same fucking people for 60 hours straight. So, goddamn.
That sounds terrible. That sounds really bad.
I think the two components are fun. It's just that I got tired of them very fast. And if they had, like, another thing that was like, I don't know, this is different, you know, I would be okay, but it's just... I realized, I was like, I have no drive to play this game. Because I've basically seen all there is to see in this game. You know what I mean? And the rest of the game would just be me leveling up my characters and having tea with Jimmy and Clarissa a few more times to unlock their, like, super support. And they'll tell me about when they were three, they found a frog on the side of the road and nursed it back to health or something, you know? Like, I don't care about that in any way.
I have an idea that would improve this game a lot, and it probably wouldn't be that hard to implement. Maybe if instead of going back to the same camp every time, you could be like a traveling mercenary with your students and go to different camps. Yes. And instead of tea with Jimmy every day, maybe occasionally you could get tea with Mrs. Nesbitt or the Frost Camp up to the north or something.
I think that would be a lot more novel, because then every time you come back from a battle... you're, like, learning, like, some new stuff about some new people and, like, new camps, you know?
Yeah, in the world.
Like, it's unique and novel. And then when you're in a battle, you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what these people are like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I play RPGs, to the exploration, you know, the journey. Like, there doesn't feel like there's any journey in this game. It's just like, I'm having tea with my students, and then I'm leveling up in a battle, and then I'm just going to do that 100 times. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that would kind of remind me of this game that we've kind of come up with that's just branched a little bit from Fire Emblem 3. It reminds me of, there's this book by Anton Chekhov that reminds me of you a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a book he wrote where he traveled across Russia to this remote prison colony and just got to know everybody there. It could be like that, but Fire Emblem. Like, you got to travel across the frozen tundra to learn about the prison colony.
Sounds so much more fun.
Yeah, and then after you go there, you get sent somewhere else, maybe to the desert. I don't know, that's so, like the Mario themes. Yeah,
I mean, that's fine. That's more interesting than what they got. But I think the reason they did it is probably because, like, it's expensive to make new, you know, areas and stuff. And, like, I get that, but spice it up somehow. You know, don't make me do the same freaking thing over and over again. And I think people play this game because they like... the character progression, which, to be fair, I like that part. But then they also like the like, dialogue they get to have with all their students. You know what I mean? And I don't care about that at all. You know? Like, at all. There is so much talking in this game. And I hate talking. And I hate it for the sake of itself. You know what I mean? Like, going back to Final Fantasy, we're really fluffing up Final Fantasy right now because it's a fucking great series. It used to be anyway. they have this like efficiency with their characterization and their dialogue. It's just like whatever needs to be said for the purposes of the plot or the character development is said, and then the rest is just you playing the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This game is the polar opposite of that, where it's like I'm talking to one guy for like 30 minutes about God knows what, and at the end of it, I'm like, what the hell was that conversation about? God, now I have to go to get tea with Clarissa again, you know? Like, it's pointless. Blather. It's just blather and blather and blather. And what I think it is, it's all these frickin' anime people and their frickin' anime games and... Ah! Sorry, I just don't like it.
But yeah. It's anime's terrible.
It's anime infiltrating my video games. I shouldn't say my video games, because it's clearly not for me. It's infiltrating video games, and it's annoying. I guess I just shouldn't play anime games anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good solution.
And it's hard to determine what is an anime game. That's the problem.
They try to, like, sneak it into your smoothie, like some kale, or like...
Yeah, I'm like maybe this isn't an anime game. It'll be okay, and then I try it, and I'm like, shit, this is an anime game. And then I'm like, no, this is the worst. So, like, before Fire Emblem came out, I was like, how anime is this game? And people on the internet was like, oh, it's like a 6. And I'm like, okay, that's an alright amount of anime, you know what I mean? And then I play it, it's like a 12. Like, on the scale of 1 to 10, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of anime. I just feel like I have a different scale factor for anime than other people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could go all day about how anime is all over the place in video games, and it's annoying me, but...
We don't have to talk about that. We could do a trivia question instead.
I'll save it for another day. Yeah, let's do a trivia.
Okay. Your first trivia question is about movies.
So
what you gonna do?
50-50.
Okay. First question. Who was the first animal character in Don Bluth's animated movies to wear shoes?
God damn it, I have no idea. Okay.
Is it A, Nicodemus in The Secret of Nim?
Okay.
Is it B, Charles B. Barkin in All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Oh my god.
Is it C, Fievel Mauskowitz in An American Tale?
Uh-huh.
Or is it D, Littlefoot in The Land Before Time?
The Littlefoot doesn't wear shoes, I don't think. I mean, maybe. No, he definitely doesn't.
He doesn't?
I mean, maybe he does.
His name's Littlefoot.
I know, but he's a dinosaur.
Yes.
He doesn't wear shoes. Okay, so before you even said the things, the first character that popped in my head, because I know Don Bluth movies decently well, is Fievel. Because I can see an image of Fievel wearing shoes in my head. He's a little mouse. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I can see him. That being said, the other two, I don't know. They could be wearing shoes. And it's the first to wear shoes, right?
Yes.
So, all this really helps me is I know it's not Littlefoot. I know Fievel wears shoes. Was he before the bad guy from All Dogs Go to Heaven and the dude from Secret of Nim? I don't know. I think Secret of Nim was before Fievel. I don't know when I think All Dogs Go to Heaven might be after Fievel. I don't know. I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It is either Nicodemus in The Secret of Nim, or it's Charles B. Barkin in All Dogs. I love that name.
Fievel, Charles B. Barkin. Is he bad? Is he a bad guy?
I think he's the good guy in All Dogs Go to Heaven. You know that German Shepherd that sings Should I Worry song?
No, that's Mel Gibson. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that, but that's him.
Okay. I don't remember him wearing shoes, though, because he's a dog, you know?
Maybe he's shoes.
I don't know. Like, okay, so in All Dogs Go to Heaven, this is an important distinction. The dogs are like, they are on their legs. Like, they move around like dogs. But in American Tale, Fievel and the cat and all the other things, they're on 2 feet like humans. So it makes sense for them to wear shoes. So okay. I don't think it's Charles B. Barkin. I think it's the guy from Secret of Nim. I think it's Nicodemus from Secret of Nim. Final answer.
Nicodemus is correct.
Yes! I really logic through that one, didn't I? I don't even know who that is.
That's the wizard mouse.
Oh, okay.
The really creepy guy.
Yep, I know who that list now. That's a good movie.
Do you know where I got this question?
Tell me.
So, do you remember when we were talking about Fievel Goes West, like last week, for some reason?
I love Fievel Goes West.
I was reading the Fievel Goes West wiki.
As you would.
And at the bottom in the trivia section on this weird wiki on Fievel Goes West, there was a, did you know that Nicodemus was the first? Like, who notices this shit?
So the guy that makes the Fievel Goes West wiki is the guy who notices this stuff.
Does he like watch all the Don Bluth movies with a pen and a paper and be like, okay, shoes, check.
Nicodemus, he's the first, and then they're like, oh man, can you imagine that guy? Like, I want to meet him or her.
I don't know if I do.
I do. Only once. I'm not going to be their friend, but I just want to know what they're like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. Do you think they sit at home watching all the Don Bluth movies back to back every night?
I think they do.
They like put all, like they do Secret of NIMH, and they do American Tale, they do Land Before Time.
How else would you come upon this piece of trivia?
To heaven. I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they watch them every, not every night, every Friday. You know, it's Don Bluth night at my house, and he just watches every movie. Can you imagine having a ritual like that? I don't have any rituals like that. I kind of want one though. What would yours be? Not watching all the Don Bluth movies. It would be consuming some media that you like a lot, like over and over again, like on a specific day of the week. You know what I mean?
I don't think I would want to do that. You would. It just doesn't sound very much
like,
fun.
Like, watch all the Matrix movies.
No, that wouldn't be the one.
Every Friday night. Watch all the Lord of the Rings movies. That would be long. That would take a long time.
I mean, Don Bluth had like 20 movies or something, so...
So my favorite Don Bluth movie is the one that people hate the most, and it's, I feel like we've talked about this on the show once. It's called, what is it called? Cock-a-doodle-doo or something? I've never
seen that one.
Oh my god. Hold on. A doodle-doo. It's Rock-a-doodle, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Rock-a-doodle. That's it. That's what it's called. It's bad, but like really good bad. I think it's Don Bluth.
Yeah, it is.
It's Don Bluth. Mm-hmm. It's on the Don Bluth wiki, so it's definitely Don Bluth. What is it with Don Bluth and wikis? Like, someone's like really excited about Don Bluth because there's like a bunch. Before Wikipedia, the first result was the Don Bluth wiki. So someone's really into Don Bluth on the internet. Like this.
I'll give
guy.
You a hint. It's the furries.
That's true. Don Bluth Con, Bluth Con 2019. Do you think they have Don Bluth?
Is that real?
I don't know. I want it to be though.
I would really like to go to the Don Bluth Con and see all the cosplays.
I'm just gonna type Bluth Con in and see what happens.
I'll tell you what. I would like to meet the Don Bluth character Shoes Man at Don Bluth Con. That would be an okay setting to meet him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the con, or at like a coffee shop outside the con. In the comfort of a city that you don't know at all. You know what I mean? Like, not anywhere near my residence in any way.
And I don't want to meet him or her alone.
Right.
I would like to be with you.
To meet Don Bluth Man. But anyway, Rock-a-Doodle is like this rooster that's like Elvis. And he, like, every day he wakes everyone up by, like, singing Elvis songs, right? Like, well, not Elvis. His own version of Elvis songs. And one day, he's, like, captured by this evil, like, wizard owl. Like, it's an owl that, like, can do magic. And the sun doesn't rise anymore. So they have to, like, this kid and a bunch of animal friends have to go on an adventure to, like, save this Elvis-looking rooster. It's really good.
That plot went from, like, really normal and reasonable for a kid's movie to, like, wait, what?
It's weird. It's super weird. It's really dark, too, because, like, the whole movie, there's no sun because he was captured and the sun doesn't rise. So it's, like, at night the entire time and it's, like, raining. It's really depressing movie.
But Jesus.
That's probably why I like it so much. But as a kid, I was like, this is fucked up. Like, as a 12-year-old, I was like, this is fucked up. Like, I mean, a lot of other Don Bluth movies are fucked up as well, but this one fucked me up pretty good. So,
Do you ever... I was thinking about this. During the hurricane, I actually watched The Secret of NIMH with my sister and some other family members, because we used to love Don Bluth movies as kids. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about... Can you imagine how different the world would be if his movies weren't so weird? Like, instead of Disney, we might have Don Bluth Productions or something as the company that owns the world.
That would be so weird. Like, if his movies were not as weird as they were, they probably would have been more successful in a weird way, but they wouldn't be as affecting of me. You know what I mean? So...
But, like, you know, him and Disney, that was an actual competition back in the day.
Yeah. And so, there's no, they don't have competition anymore, really.
No, of course not. Because his movies were too weird.
But they're so good, weird, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you saying, like, if they kept going, like, it would be really interesting to see how that would have progressed to where Disney is now? Like, instead of Disney?
Yeah, like, if his movies were maybe a little less weird and more parents bought those movies for their kids instead of, like, Snow White, then maybe instead of Disney owning Marvel today, it would be Fievel and the Avengers universe.
I would watch the Fievel cinematic universe. I mean, they made two of those movies. They made American Tail and Fievel Goes West, so I'm in for more Fievel. That's fine. Give me that. Give me more Fievel any day of the week. And the big cat guy, remember him in those movies?
Oh, yeah. The evil cat, yeah.
Yeah, those movies were great. I miss those kind of things. Yeah, everything's so kind of sanitary now.
Yeah. My favorite one growing up was We're Back with John Goodman.
The dinosaur
with the big
one.
Red, yeah.
Yes. That was really dark, too.
Yeah, it was.
Because...
It was about drugs.
They always look so happy on the cover, and then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, shit. Because there's, like, an evil, like, what is he, carnival guy or something? And he has this fucking creepy, like, glass eye, right? Mm-hmm. Is this the movie, right?
Yeah. The plot is the evil carnival man wants to drug the population and de-evolve them into chimpanzees so that he can, like, enslave them in a circus. That's the
plot. And he can do, like, magic, too. Like, all these bad guys can do, like, he's like a wizard somehow as well.
Yeah.
And, like, dinosaurs come back to Earth, right? And then they have to, like, fight him or something.
Yeah, to save the planet from the evil carnival man.
The evil carnival man is really creepy, though.
Scary.
It's very dark. The beginning of the movie is pretty fucked up, because, like, I think people die in the beginning. Or, like, they get de-evolved. Like, that's one of the first things that happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Don Bluth, man. What a national treasure he was. You know? Or is. I don't know if he's still alive. He's probably really old by this point, but
I think he's like, he's 91 now. Yeah. I was reading his wiki very recently.
What a guy. What a national treasure. But anyway, you should watch Rockadoodle, because it's good. And I'll go back and watch Secret of NIMH, because it's been 18 years since I've seen that movie, literally.
I think We're Back is the better movie.
I'll watch We're Back. I've seen that more recently, though. I mean, not that recently, but more recently. Yeah,
it's good.
It's a good movie. What other things? Oh, okay, what were we going to say?
I was going to say, we were talking about gaming earlier, and I wanted to bring up this sentence I read.
Bring it up! Okay, go ahead.
So, I was looking for trivia on Wikipedia, and in the Did You Know section on the homepage, I saw this sentence, and it says, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Research into digital media use and mental health has found that females are more likely to be affected by problematic social media use, while males are more likely to have gaming disorder.
Gaming disorder.
What's that mean?
It means you click on it, first of all. Can you click on it? Or is it just like a link?
I just wrote it down. I don't have it up anymore. Damn. But let's figure it out. What's the gaming
disorder? Okay, so my guess is that you're addicted to gaming, but I feel like that would just be gaming addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Disorder is too big of a word to put instead of addiction. You know what I mean? Like, because you could just say gaming addiction. Gaming disorder sounds like something's wrong with your head. and it has to do with video games. Like, I don't know how that would work, though.
I mean, let's focus on what you just said. There's something wrong with your head, and it's because of video games.
Right? Like, I don't know what it would be. Maybe. I don't know. What were you saying?
Maybe okay. If you play too many video games, It makes you weird.
It makes you have gaming disorder.
Yes.
And then you become a social pariah. You become an outcast in society.
Yeah.
No, you become a YouTube streamer. A Twitch streamer. I'm kidding. That's a joke. I don't know. Do you think I have gaming disorder?
I don't think you do.
Maybe that's why I don't like anime games anymore.
Yeah, we're going to alienate, like, a Fine. Bunch of people.
Don't worry. That's what we do best on this show.
Maybe that's why people like anime games. Why else would you like it? Like, you were describing Fire Emblem to me, and you said it's 60 hours of the same shit over and over again. Maybe people like that because they have gaming disorder. Maybe that's what's wrong with them. They've
been trained to like it because of gaming disorder. That's the secret the companies are doing. They're making people have gaming disorder, and then they're like, here you go. And they're like, I love it. I have gaming disorder. It's so good. Maybe that's
now
gaming disorder.
And now when you have gaming disorder, after that 3,000th time you're going to have tea with Jimmy, you're like, yes, I love this. This is so much fun.
I had a perfect tea time with Jimmy this time.
Yeah, he talked for 15 minutes.
I didn't tell you about the tea system, okay? So this is the system. You have tea, then you get to pick what kind of tea you are going to give the person, And then you pick a list of conversation topics to talk about, and Some of the conversation topics they like, and some of them they don't. And you have to, like, read the person. And, like, if you get all of them right, you have a perfect tea time. And you're, like, your relationship goes up.
Oh, my God. So it's like kind of like chocobos in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, but a lot more annoying. Because you don't get to ride them to get Knights of the Round at the end of the tea time. They're just like, thanks, Professor, and then they walk away. You know, there's no goal at the end of the tea time, you know?
Yeah, it sounds terrible. It sounds like there would have to be something wrong with you to enjoy it.
People have gaming disorder. I have a theory, and let's alienate all of them because we might as well, you know what I mean? Whatever, it's fine. I have a theory about why people like these games so much. And the theory is because they don't have social interactions in real life.
Jesus Christ.
So they play these stupid games that have all these, like, you know, you talk to, like, a shit ton of people. But they're all, like, really boring conversations. But you do it so much that, like, you know, you're getting that part of your life. You're getting that from this game instead of real life.
Yeah, it's kind of like socializing.
But not, because you can reset not at it all, if you but... say something wrong. Yeah, not at all. Not in any way. You know, like, when you talk to a person in Fire Emblem, they'll, like, just randomly start talking about their past, you know, for no reason.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, are you okay? And they're like, yes, I'm just going through things right now. And they'll be really dramatic. When you're talking to a person in real life, that never happens. That's just not something that people talk about randomly to someone that they just met. So
if it does, you should be really concerned.
Yeah, you should be concerned with your safety. Anyway, that's my really bad theory about why people like Fire Emblem, or those kinds of games so much. I know that's really terrible, but it's what
I think
about.
We're just joking.
We're joking. Like, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. That's not really what I think. But, I don't know. I was playing it, like, I haven't played it for 2 weeks, but I remember turning it on, like, two Fridays ago and playing it. And I was just sitting there hitting buttons, talking to some stupid-ass person about some stupid-ass thing that I didn't care about. And I thought to myself, like, I would rather be doing literally anything else than playing this game. You know what I mean? Like, literally anything else. Like, name a thing, I would rather be doing it. And that's when I realized that I think this genre of just video games is not my cup of tea. And I don't really get it. Anyway, that's me about that's video games in 2019 for me. But
yeah.
You know, it's fine. Have you been playing anything good lately?
Well, I'm about to be playing Final Fantasy VIII.
Which we know is good, because, you know...
Yeah. Which, you know, to be fair, is sort of anime. It's kind of an anime plot, but...
Sure.
I don't know.
But I like it. It's not... I mean, there's a plot, right? That's the difference. There is a plot. It actually
talking
goes
in Final
somewhere.
Fantasy VIII, it's not... There's not a lot of it, and this... I'm not doing a very good job explaining this.
There's a significant amount, but it's always in... it's always towards something. You know, it's not just idle talk. That's where I can't stand video games. Because a lot of these RPGs today, it's like... It's idle talk. Like, the talk doesn't go anywhere. You're just talking in circles for the benefit of nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas in Final Fantasy VIII, you're talking about... going to the thing and, you know, fixing this problem and going on this quest. You know, it's all action talk. You're talking about doing things, you know.
And then, like, three times during the plot, there will be a 30-minute exposition dump that you can skip just by mashing. And
that's probably boring, but at the end of the day, like, it only happens three times. Yeah. So it's novel. It's like, all right, I'll sit here for 30 minutes because they haven't done this to me before. Whereas Fire Emblem is like, oh, every hour, you get a 30-minute thing. I'm like, I want to die. You know what I mean? So that's the difference.
Yeah.
The novelty, you know, getting new things unique. But anyway, I don't know. You want to do
second trivia question?
Let's do it. I was just thinking that. Let's go.
All right. Your second trivia question is also movie trivia.
Wow, another movie. Mm-hmm. I'll do Money Hall.
Okay. The trivia... question is, the fictional character Forrest Gump was portrayed as serving in the Vietnam War with blank. Okay. Is it A, the U.S. Navy 1st Viet Cong Regiment?
Oh God, I have to name the regiment. Okay.
Is it B, the U.S. Army 47th Infantry Regiment? Mm-hmm. Is it C, the U.S. Marines Combat Logistics Regiment? Or is it the U.S. Air Force 923rd Fighter Regiment?
Damn it.
So it's Army, Navy, Marines, or Air Force.
I don't think he was in the Air Force, but I guess he could be. I'm leaning Army or Marines, because he was on the ground. And I know Navy can be on the ground, too, but... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how these things work. The military all kind of blurs together at some point, right? They all carry guns and shoot people at the end of the day. I'm going to use my Monty Hall, though, and I'm going to use it on Air Force, because I'm fairly confident he wasn't in the Air Force. But maybe he was.
It is either the U.S. Army 47th Infantry Regiment, or it's the U.S. Air Force 923rd.
So my gut was Army, so I'm going to go with Army, final answer.
Army's correct.
Yes! See, that was a good trivia question, even though... I killed it. I nailed it.
Isn't it usually the Army in movies,
it
too?
It usually is the Army. I don't think I've seen a movie, though. Like, we're in the Navy. It's like, no. It's like, we're in the Army, almost certainly. Unless they're, like, really special, and then they're the Marines. Because they're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really get the Marines. So, like, you got the Army, you got the Navy, you got the Air Force. That covers land, sea, and air. And then the Marines are just there. Like, what do? It's like, oh, we do everything just better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't get the point of the Marines. Like, why don't they just roll that into the Army?
I know nothing about the military either, and that's my exact take on how the U.S. Defense Forces work.
Like, all I know about the Marines is they are better. They think they're better, or people think they're better than the other three. Like, they're more specialized. But, like, why do you have them as a separate thing? Why don't you roll them into one of the other ones, you know?
Back in the 90s, there was a commercial where a Marine new recruit had to take a sword and plunge it into a volcano dragon or something.
That.
Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe in the Marines... I know in the Marines you get a sword.
Oh, so maybe that's the distinction.
Yeah.
You get a sword. And in the other ones, you don't have a sword.
Yes.
That's the big difference.
You've Marines got the boats and sea ones, that's the Navy. You've got the airplanes, that's the Air Force. The ground is the Marines, and then people
the
with the swords.
The people with the sword is the Marines.
Yeah, it's the Marines.
So here's the thing that doesn't make sense. So Marine means water, right? Like marine mammal, for example.
Yes.
So the Marines got to do something with the water, right? So what do they do? That's a really good point. So what do they do, and why aren't they just part of the Navy? Like, I don't get it. This doesn't make sense to me. Also, the Air Force has aircraft carriers in the water that are boats. Like, it feels like these are all just the same thing. We're just calling them different names because it's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get it. The armed forces.
Yeah, neither do I. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If you're a Marine and you want to set us straight, please contact us at contact@timebetshow.com or tweet at us at timebetshow on the Twitter. I had a topic I wanted to bring to the table. Sure. Last week, at the end of the show, we discovered that I thought of a phrase, good gravy, Bill, was a real phrase, but we determined that it was not, and I was hallucinating it or something. But one other person on the internet knew of it because it was an Imgur post. And the thing that caught my attention to this was, at the end of the show, we named our episode Good Gravy Bill. And by doing so, we created a new place where this phrase exists, and it's part of the Time Bad Show now, but it's on the internet. So, like, in thinking this existed, we have willed it into existence, you know, and I think that's, like, an interesting, you know, thing that happened, or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but that was what the old internet used to be. You get to will culture into existence. Now it's you get to copy other people.
Right, and because everything is a copy, basically.
Yeah.
Everything's a duplicate, if you go back far enough. Except Good Gravy Bill, apparently. That was real still, somehow. But it is, you know.
So do you ever do this on the internet where you try to think of cool, unique things?
I do.
And you post them to create them.
So there's this thing, and I have no idea. I've been meaning to talk to you about this on the show, and I never have before, and it's weird that it's never come up. So back in high school, you, when we were friends, I mean, we're still friends, but, like, you know.
Back when we were friends.
Back when we saw each other literally every day. You came up with some really bizarre phrase that I've remembered for my entire life, and I don't remember, I don't know why, I just remember it. And this phrase is, well, you probably know what it is, so you should just repeat it, because I'm going to screw it up if I do.
I can tell you the story about it, too.
Okay.
So the phrase is, bridge time is time, and in the limit it possesses and it arrives, which is a mouthful. But
right, and it doesn't really make any sense.
No.
But it stuck with me for some reason. But where does it come from? Yeah, let's get the origin of it.
So back in high school, I used to play a lot of music games, and I was really into them.
You were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a game called Pump It Up, which is, like, if you take a DDR pad and you invert it, that's Pump It Up. It's the diagonals instead of up, down, left, right. And there was a song in Pump It Up called Dignity that's in Japanese that was, like, the hardest song at the time. And I was on some random Japanese forum trying to get a translation of the lyrics because I thought they were really cool. And this was some random guy's, like,
bad
English bad translation of this song's lyrics. And it probably wasn't even, like, remotely close.
But it was bridge time is time, and in the limit it possesses and it arrives. That was the bad translation of the lyrics. And then you, like, told me, and I was like, that's a weird phrase. And at first I was like, that's kind of dumb. But the more I thought about it, like, the, like, nonsensicalness of it and, like, how badly grammatically structured it is, but also how interesting the words are individually, like, stuck out for me somehow. And I remember you posted it on a website a long time ago. I remember.
I used to, like, write it on my notebooks and post it on, like, online profiles and stuff.
And so, like, when I went into college, I started doing, like taking, like, web development classes or something. And I remember, like, this phrase would just, like, come into my head randomly. And I remember being like, I'm going to just put this, like, as a hidden Easter egg on the bottom of this website. You know what I mean? And I would just do that for fun. And it would be, like, my little phrase that I did. And I, like, to this day, I still do that. I'll write it out. Like, whenever there's there's an avenue I can just, like, throw this on something on the internet, I do it. And I don't know why I chose this phrase, but I do. Like, I have my portfolio website, right? Which is, like, has my resume and my portfolio for my job, for my career, rather. And I literally have a page on that website that is inaccessible unless you know the exact URL. Like, you can't, it's not linked anywhere. And all the page says is bridge time is time, and then the limit emphasizes it and arrives. That's the only thing the entire page says. That's so cool, dude. But I, like, just put it on the internet because I was like, maybe it'll be there. And I made sure Google could crawl it so that if you Google it, if you go through enough pages, you'll find my website through that phrase, which is kind of wild.
I love that.
And it's, like, such a dumb thing, but, like, oh, it's really cool. And, like, my...
Written down, it was and kind of still is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, like, in words.
So, like... And
I've always thought
it's
that.
It's super cool. And the more you repeat it, the cooler it gets. That's, like, the coolest part of the phrase. But the other thing I wanted to do, and I'll never do this because this is not going to ever happen, but if I got, like, famous for writing something or making, like, a game or some, like, movie or something, and I had, like, multiple things that I did that are, like... seemingly, like, this is never gonna happen, but, like, let's say I'm a writer. I'm not, and I'm never gonna be, but maybe I was, and I wrote three books that are completely different, right? And they don't have anything to do with each other. I want that phrase to be, like, the connective tissue of all the books. So, like, if, like, you could, it's not obviously there, but, like, if you, like, did some kind of weird cipher in each book, you could, like, get the phrase out of all of them or something like that, and then it would, like, connect it together somehow.
If you, like, took Fibonacci numbers and on the pages and, like, kind of add up
they
all the words.
They would all spell that out.
Yeah.
That's, like, my dream. And then people would be like, oh, they're related somehow, even though they're not. I mean, like, they're separate books or whatever. But maybe one day.
That's a cool thing because, you know, me and you both do this. And, you know, maybe if someone else were to start doing it, too, with this phrase, we would have our own little secret society.
Little club. The Bridge Time Society, if you will.
Yeah.
So, if you want to start bridge timing it up, we welcome anybody to do it. And I don't know why you'd want to, but it's really dumb. But it's fun. It's stupid and fun.
Yeah. The rules are, if you're going to use it, you have to do it in, like, a weird, convoluted, cool way.
Yes. Like don't be obvious about it. You got to hide it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Make it so that if someone accidentally finds it, it's like a moment.
And they're like, what is this weird phrase? That's the key. Like, I think that's the key. If someone else finds it that's never seen it before, their reaction has to be like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like, if they do that, then you've succeeded. Then you've succeeded. So, I don't know. I'm going to still do it till the day I die because it's fun. I don't know why I like it, but it's fun.
This happens a lot in that book Valis by Philip K. Dick too. Yeah, there's a cipher in that book that's King Caesar, and the plot of the book centers around
it's not
using.
Spoil
that.
It for everybody, but yeah, there's a cool cipher in the book.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stuff like that has always been so interesting.
Some of our
to me.
Listeners might want to read Valis, which is a great book, by the way. Philip K. Dick is a great author, but. Stuff like that. I don't know why it's so interesting to me, but it is. It like shouldn't be. Like if you told me that is an interesting thing, and I like outside looking in, I'd be like, that's dumb. But it's really interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny that we both do that too, because you've come up with things that I've copied too, little words and phrases. Like one that really sticks out is. You wanted to start a cult or something back when you were in middle school. I did. You wanted to call it Esoterra, Esoterra, Strange World.
I don't remember that at all.
It stuck with me forever. That was like the first cult you ever wanted to make.
What was the word?
Esoterra. The Esoterra Society.
Oh, like
or
weird. Oh, weird world. Yeah, yeah, or strange world.
Yeah.
Like esoteric or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that.
But. Esoterra
It's a cool word.
Yeah, I've used it as screen names. I've used it on like little creative projects.
That's so cool. See, that's my goal in life, to have like some effect on one person in a way where they're like, this is cool. You know what I mean? And they like,
yeah.
They
like I'm going to take this and make it my own.
I'm going to take it and use it because it's cool. Like, that's it. Maybe. Yeah. I'm glad you got that. And I got that from you, a different thing. So, like, there we go. We've each done one, you know? We've each affected one person in a positive way, each other, with our weird things. Maybe Hooray. We'll get, well, maybe we'll get somebody else one day. But who knows? I don't know. Speaking of which, I think this is a good segue. We had a listener question that's actually somewhat relevant to this. Not really, but kind of, in a way. Let me bring up our Discord to find it. This question comes from Penguin Problems on our Discord, which is a good friend of mine and a listener.
Cool.
So thank you, Penguin Problems. She asks, why the names Bat Snacks and Time Aces? Probably been answered before, but I would like to know. So, the name. Why are we named, screen name-wise, the way that we are? And you can answer first if you'd like.
So, mine is dumb. I change my screen names a lot, and this was just the one I happened to use at the time we started this podcast.
And that's it. Didn't it have something to do with Batman or something, though?
Yeah, in Batman, Joker sometimes calls Batman Bat Snacks.
Does he?
And I didn't know that. Maybe I made that up, but I think he does.
So something that we should let everyone know is you really love Batman.
Yeah, I love Batman. Mm-hmm.
Especially Batman and Joker, like the whole thing. So for a while there, you had a lot of screen names relating to their dynamic. And Bat Snacks was just one of them, I think.
Yeah. Also, I love Scooby-Doo, and in the Batman Scooby-Doo crossover episodes, Batman has bat snacks that he gives to Scooby-Doo instead of Scooby snacks.
So it's like a multi-layered. It's a Scooby-Doo callback, and then it's also a Joker callback. Yeah. That's what all at once.
Yeah. It's like my three favorite things: Batman, Joker, and Scooby-Doo.
That really says a lot about your personality.
Yeah.
Are you going to see the new Joker movie?
Yeah, I'll see it. I'm not very optimistic, though.
Yeah, I'm not really optimistic either. But it's a Joker movie, so I'll see it.
Do you know how bad I want to like that movie?
Oh, God. You want to like it?
I want to like it so bad. But do you know what scares me is Joaquin Phoenix came out as saying he went mad while playing the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is a great actor, though. It's just, I don't know. I have no faith in that movie.
The last time someone said they went mad playing the Joker, it was Jared Leto.
And how that turned out was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. So my name, Timeasis, I mean, I've had this screen name for, how long have I had this screen name? A long time.
At least 20 years.
Not 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been that long.
I think it has.
I think it's been 18. I think I made it up when I was like 12 or 13 years old. And the story goes, I feel like I've told this on the podcast, but it's fine. The story goes, we were playing StarCraft at your house when we were like 12, 13 years old. Battle.net. You remember this? And yep. we would stay up till like 6 in the morning playing StarCraft online on the ladder matches. And we would switch back and forth, like, because you only had one computer. So we would just like take turns. And back in the old days of StarCraft Battle.net, you didn't have to, like, register a profile. You just typed a name in, and if it wasn't taken, you're golden. You know what I mean? Like, that was your name. So I kept having, like, you had some cool name. I don't remember what it was. But I kept trying to be like, man, Bat Snacks has such a cool name. You know, oh, he has such a cool screen name. I wish I had a cool screen name. And so I went, like, a bunch of matches over the course of the night trying to come up with a cool screen name. And I remember we decided that the word time was cool somewhere along the way. So we, like, narrowed it down to being like, okay, that's the word we'll focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And then for, like, an hour or two, I started, like, typing in random letters after the word time. Mm-hmm. And one time I just accidentally typed in AISIS, and I thought it sounded really cool. And so did you, I think, at the time.
I still think it's cool.
And then I was like, that's my screen name. And it's literally been my screen name for 18 years. And I have been, like, if you Google my screen name, you will find so much shit on the internet. Like, I probably have one of the most Googleable screen names of all time. Because I'm anonymous normally, like, my actual name. But my screen name is, like, it's everywhere. Like, I've used it for 18 years. It's literally everywhere on the internet. So,
and it's unique enough that, I mean, it's probably not going to be copied, right?
I've never had it. I've only had it copied once, and it was copied, like, antagonistically. Like, someone didn't like me, and they wanted to screw me out of an account on some other site that I didn't really care about. You know what I mean? And it's only happened one time. I've never had to add a one or zero or anything to it, so.
Yeah. You know, that's actually, that's part of why I chose Bat Snacks, too. I didn't want something so unique that you could find my other stuff. Because if you just Google Bat Snacks, you're going to get Batman and Scooby-Doo.
Right.
You're not going to get anything from me.
Yeah. If you Google Time Aces, you'll find everything that I've ever done on the internet as Time Aces, which is a lot of things. Some of which I'm not super proud of, but you know what I mean? I don't really have any skeletons in my closet. It's all there. Some of it's embarrassing, but go nuts. You know what I mean? So, that's the story. And that story took us right into the 60-minute mark, which means the last and final trivia question.
This is food trivia.
Oh, movie food. Okay, I'm going to go with 5-second Google on this one.
Okay.
I believe in myself on this one.
Question is, the Three Musketeers bar was originally split into three pieces with three different flavors, vanilla, chocolate, and blank.
Oh, great.
Is it A, coconut?
Okay.
Is it B, banana? Is it C, strawberry? Or is it D, peppermint?
Banana, coconut, strawberry, or peppermint?
Yep.
So it's chocolate, vanilla, and then this other one.
Yep. Three Musketeers.
God, can you imagine banana as well as chocolate and vanilla?
I can, actually.
It sounds really bad. Yeah. Doesn't it sound bad?
None of them sound good.
Did you know banana flavor is based on an old banana that doesn't exist anymore? That's why it tastes so different than actual bananas.
Oh.
Like the banana flavoring we use in candy was synthesized in like the 20s based on a banana that no longer exists. So whenever we have banana now, like flavor in candy, it doesn't taste anything like banana because the banana doesn't exist anymore. And the bananas we eat are based on a completely different like species of banana.
That's fascinating. You know, bananas that we eat don't really taste like anything. That's why I don't eat them.
Yeah, so there you go. Little did you know.
They taste like mushy fruit matter.
Mushy fruit powder. So banana would be gross. Peppermint would be, I mean, it would be okay. I wouldn't really want that. Strawberry would be, coconut would be, oh God, I wouldn't hate that. I would hate coconut. I hate coconut flavor though. But I feel like that's the most likely because they have that in all the other candies. They're like, let's add some coconut in there. You know what I mean? Like in Mounds bars. But I'll 5-second Google this. I think I can do this.
All right.
So
let me know when you're ready.
Milky Way, or Three Musketeers, third flavor, basically.
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you want to tell me what you're leaning?
I'm leaning coconut, because the reason I'm leaning coconut is because there's so many coconut candies out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, but it exists, so.
Yeah.
I can see it existing in Three Musketeers, basically.
All right, you ready to start Googling?
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1, Google.
Three Musketeers, third.
You're out of time.
Flavor. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
It's okay.
All right. I had to scroll a little bit, but I got it.
What do you got?
Strawberry.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. According to oldtimecandy.com, it's strawberry.
Okay, well, they know their stuff, because that's right.
I spelled Three Musketeers so poorly in this Google. I
panicked. How did you spell it?
Musketeers.
Okay. That's interesting, because when I wrote out this trivia question, I spelled it Musketeers.
Musketeers. So yeah, there you go. I mean,
that doesn't sound very good.
I could have spelled it right, but my hands were going so fast. And like as I was typing Three Musketeers, I realized that I could have just used the number three instead of typing out the entire word three.
Yeah.
And then I like was like, damn, that was stupid. And then my brain was like, I'm going to misspell Musketeers now. Well, I just spit everywhere. yeah.
Would you eat a Three Musketeers bar? They're like musty or something.
Is it mustard in it? It's chocolate, vanilla, and mustard. Those are the flavors. And no, I would not eat that because that sounds
wait, completely gross. The three flavors would be ketchup, mustard, and
mayonnaise. Would it be wrapped in chocolate still, or what?
Yeah, sure. Whatever. But no, the chocolate is like red, yellow, and white, though.
So it's like to indicate what's inside, basically?
Yes. You don't want to... Maybe you don't like the mayonnaise one.
And you're like, I'll just have the ketchup one.
You give mayonnaise one to your like wife or your husband or whatever.
They like mayonnaise.
They like the
so
mayonnaise.
So would it be in there? Like... Like, would it be flavored, or would it, like, they would literally put it inside the bar?
What I'm imagining is you have, like, the colored chocolate outside, mm-hmm. and then inside, do you know the kind of weird, airy Three Musketeers texture?
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's, like, mayonnaise flavored.
That sounds so bad. Would you
do you know
this?
How good this would do?
No,
this
would
sell like gangbusters.
What do you mean? No one would buy this.
Everybody would buy this.
Why? To see how it is?
Yeah. It's the same thing as Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. This is like a gotta be in on the cultural zeitgeist kind of deal.
Everybody on YouTube is like, watch me react to the new
mayonnaise candy. You're totally right. You're totally right. Okay, so marketing strategy. Limit it to 1 week, right? They only have it for a week. Mm-hmm. But, and then you get people to buy it and try it on YouTube or whatever. I think it would do really well. I think it would do so well that you'd probably have to extend it for a couple more weeks.
Well, you know? Here's what you do. You make it a holiday. It's like the Three Musketeers week.
It's Alexandre Dumas' birthday, the guy that wrote The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes, perfect.
That his birthday is when you do
In
this.
Celebration of him, you can eat a ketchup-flavored candy bar.
Or mustard flavor. Or mayonnaise flavor. And maybe the marketing can be like, it's easy to break it off into three different things. Mm-hmm. So you get one, and you share it with two of your friends. And you like challenge each other, like, what do you want? You want to try the mayonnaise, or the ketchup, or the mustard? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then maybe you like you play rock, paper, scissors to see who could eat the grossest one or something. You know?
You got to make a custom like rock, paper, scissors game that people only play when they're
with Three Musketeers.
These.
So you shoot like sword, hat, and boot or something like that.
No, there'll be like you need fencing terms. You could have like parry and you could have
thrust,
like, thrust,
and then
on guard.
I don't know.
That's how you decide who gets mayonnaise.
Wouldn't they all just look like the, like, saber, though? I mean, what would, like, the signs be?
So thrust is, like, you're pointing at someone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Parry is, like...
You're whacking it out of the way with your hand, like, waving it off.
So it's like a wave. It's like paper, kind of.
Right? Yes.
And then... On guard would be like...
Is also pointing.
Maybe you make the bullhorns with on guard.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like longhorns kind of thing.
On guard is like, come to me. Like you beckon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so like...
Come and face
Neo,
me.
Neo like in the Matrix. Or Morpheus in the Matrix, like come get me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like that. There you go. And that's whoever... Whoever loses eats the grossest one, determined by the group. So then
mayonnaise.
there's the little things. And you have the little, get the little rules on the inside of the wrapper. You know, it's like, share this with two of your friends. Nobody wants to eat the mayonnaise one? Well, then play a game of parry, thrust, on guard in celebration of Alexandre Dumas' birthday. And then you get some social media buzz, and, you know, you got it.
Yeah,
I feel like YouTube would run away with this.
Yeah, it would explode. And, you know, after this, everyone would eat Three Musketeers because they have these memories of trying to go out of their way to get a gross ketchup bar.
You know what would happen a year later? People would be like, where's... Like, if the next birthday, mm-hmm. they didn't do this, people would be like, where's the ketchup-flavored Three Musketeers? You know what I mean? Like, people would be yeah. mad that they didn't bring it back.
Even if you don't bring it back, that's going to generate some buzz, and you're going to sell even more candy.
And then you could do a thing where, like, you don't bring it back, but you guarantee every 100th... Every one in 100,000 Three Musketeer bar is ketchup, mayonnaise,
it's mayonnaise.
And mustard Three Musketeer. Now that's the way to do it right there.
Yeah.
We need to go into marketing. If we were a lot more evil, we could really kill it in marketing, I feel like. Like the two of us, mm-hmm. we could be like a marketing power partnership, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we'll just add... Three. I don't know who makes Three Musketeers. Probably like Heinz or someone.
Not the ketchup company. It's like Nabisco or something.
We can at them on this episode. Be like, have we got an idea for you?
Watch this episode like all the way through to find out what to do. I've got some Reddits today. If you want to do them,
sure.
We haven't done like Reddits in a while, I guess. But I've got a few today. Question number one, asked by Trixie. What have you fucked up already today? Have you fucked up already today?
I have.
And what was it?
I've been trying to eat really healthy, and I just went and bought like $25 worth of Chick-fil-A for lunch.
Yes! How do you spend $25 at Chick-fil-A?
You get a large spicy chicken deluxe mm-hmm. and a large 12-count nuggets and eat it all in one sitting.
Yeah, that's the way to live right there. God, why haven't they made spicy chicken nuggets yet? I'm really mad about that. That sounds good. I might go buy those right now, like after this is over. So you fucked up that way.
Yeah, I'm totally screwed up.
Have you, with like, so I have a really bad diet, and we've talked about this on the show before, but every time I like want to eat healthier, I like look at something, and then I'm like, alright, never mind. Like, I have like zero willpower. Like, I have less willpower with that than anything else in my life. You know what I mean? Like, eating. I don't know why, but everything else is just, it's not that hard, but eating is just... You see it, and even if I didn't have any money in my bank account, I'd be like, yeah, I'll spend $8 in Chick-fil-A right now. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid.
You have to have something. I've spent a lot of time analyzing why I do this, too, because I do it. Mm-hmm. I have not a lot of willpower when it comes to eating. And what happens is I'll start eating healthy, and then Chick-fil-A will start sounding good.
Right.
And I can say no initially, but then you get
days.
That little... You get that craving. Voice that's nagging at you like, well, why even live if I can't just have some Chick-fil-A occasionally?
Exactly. Like, exactly my point.
What's the point?
What is the point of all this if I can't eat Chick-fil-A?
There's nothing else good in life. Like,
I mean,
why can't I just have some Chick-fil-A?
That's true. There's nothing else. You might as well eat Chick-fil-A. And then you get to the breaking point. You just do it. Man, I'm with you there.
Yeah. And the breaking point is usually so much worse than if you had just bought a little to begin with.
Right?
You end up buying $25 worth of Chick-fil-A at once.
You're better off just getting a normal-sized meal every, you know, week or whatever to, like, stave yourself from eating $25 worth.
Yep.
But what are you going to do? Have I fucked up today? I mean, probably. I fuck up every day. You know the interesting thing about fucking up is, like, sometimes you don't know you've done it until, like, way later. And then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So I've probably done it a few times today. I just don't remember it. I mean, I spiraled myself further into a depression today. So that's, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a general fuck up or whatever. Have you ever, like, talked to someone and then, like, you walked away? And then you're like, oh, that was a good conversation. And then, like, an hour later, you're like, man, everyone must really hate me. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It's not.
You shouldn't do that.
I think it happens to me more when I'm depressed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, man, I'm gonna move on from this.
I totally suck. No, you shouldn't do that, because you don't totally suck.
I feel like I do sometimes, though.
Well, you shouldn't. Those feelings are irrational.
What did you do? Lightning Cole asked, what did you do embarrassingly late? I think, like, in life. Like, what did you do embarrassingly late in life? I don't know if I did anything embarrassingly late in life.
I'm sure there's something I did embarrassingly late.
I've probably done a lot of things embarrassingly late, and I just don't realize that they're embarrassing. until someone would bring it up. You know what I mean?
This isn't something I really think about a lot, whether I've, like, checked off what I'm supposed to do yet.
This is a good topic. I mean, we only have a few minutes, but this is a topic. You don't do something this, but I
don't think about.
Yeah. I do a lot. Like, too much. I was just having this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. It basically boils down to, remember when I turned 30 and I was, like, going through my existential crisis? We covered that on the podcast. You remember this?
Yeah, I remember.
But I, like, had this checklist in my head of, like, here's all these things I haven't done by the time I turn 30. And I, like, tried to sprint to them. But I, like, couldn't do it because you can't just make things happen. You know what I mean? Because some things you just have to wait on or whatever. But I constantly have this, like, checklist of, like, here's these things I need to do. Here's these things I haven't done yet. Here's these experiences I haven't had yet. And I'm getting older and I'm going to lose my chance of having them and... And then I freak myself out because I'm like, I'm not normal, I'm weird, and I haven't done this and that and the other thing. And I can't come up with concrete examples because these are things you think about at like 2 a.m. in the morning, right? So they're not real, but yeah, I definitely have this like weird checklist phenomenon where
I don't at all. I have the total opposite. You know, most of the embarrassing things that happen to me are things that either shouldn't happen to you ever. And it's like, well, I just got lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I don't know, it's different stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in probably more bad car accidents than I should have.
Congratulations for that one.
Like, that's embarrassing, right?
Yeah, I guess that's embarrassing, but that's just luck, you know? Like,
that's not like a rite of passage. It's not just luck. I'm just not a good driver. But it's not a rite of passage, though, getting into a big embarrassing car accident.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know if it's a rite of passage thing for me. It's just, like, things that I assume people should be doing by the time they're here, and I'm, like, not there, and I'm like, man, I'm late to this. And then I feel like my whole life is I'm, like, catching up. This is going to sound really depressing. I'm, like, catching up to the life that I want to already have in the future, you know? Wow.
But, like, according to who? Who says you got to do all that
Me.
Stuff?
I say you? It. Okay. And I don't
then,
know why.
Then that's important, then.
But I don't know why. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Topic for another episode, I guess. But,
okay.
God. Thank you for being there for me.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I don't say don't that to enough to people because I realize that, like, I'm kind of a taker. I'm not much of a giver. Maybe I'm a giver sometimes, but I don't realize it. But, like, I take a lot, and I don't, like, I need to say I appreciate people when they are nice to me, you know. You've been there for me a very long time, so thank you for that.
Well, you've been there for me, too, so thank you, I guess.
You're welcome.
Here's our weekly, oh, man, you're so cool, I like you.
At the end of the show, it's the touchy-feely part. Who's our sponsor today, Bassnex?
Our sponsor today is Three Musketeers brand tri-flavored condiment candy.
When you want to have your friends eat something gross, try Three Musketeers. Remember when you're feeling like, when you're feeling kind of sad.
Stop being so bad.
There you go. Good night, everyone. Drive safely. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.